What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to another edition of the goingfor2.com NFL sports betting show. It's been another great week in the NFL. Week 6 has come and gone, and it was another great week for us. A clean sweep this week. Every single pick that we made hit. Up $900 this week. I went soft, like I said. I didn't have a great feel for the week, but it turns out that I actually did. Every single bet hit. We had $50 on the under in the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. $50 on -2.5 in New England. Got on that early. They won by a field goal. Then we had a $600 moneyline parlay that I sweated out last night. Vikings and Packers NFC North parlay hit nicely. And then our $500 10-point three-team teaser, Vikings PK, Houston +2. That was another sweat, too. And then the Los Angeles Chargers +8.5. Everything hit. Clean sweep. So let's keep it rolling this week. We are up a grand total of $4,300 this year from our bets on this podcast. So we are back with more picks this week. So to help me break down the slate, we have the founder of goingfor2.com himself, Jeff Lambert. Jeff, what's going on tonight, man?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. Jeff, of course, is a huge, huge 49ers fan. So, and your wife is coincidentally a Packers fan, which is pretty funny. That was a great game last night. I, of course, had the Packers in a parlay, so I texted you last night that if the Niners had won, my cheeriness on this podcast would have been diminished quite a bit. But the Packers were somehow able to they got Rodgers, man. I mean, San Francisco sort of blew it. They were up 7 with, I believe, 3 minutes left and ended up losing that game. But how about DFS wise? You're of course a big DFS player. How did week six go for you?
Week six, the main slate on Sunday actually went pretty good. I did a video survey for FanDuel earlier in the week, and in exchange for doing the survey, they gave me 75,000 credits, which basically amounts to about $30. So I went and played a GPP with all that money, just one big fell swoop shot. And then I'm turning that basically 15-minute video survey into about $100. So definitely not a bad weekend when you can get $100 for free, basically.
It was a strange week. We had, 30 minutes before lineups locked, you had Brock Osweiler now starting for the Dolphins, and he actually goes out 380 yards for Osweiler. They get the win, and then another strange game. This Sunday, Jacksonville favored by 3 just gets absolutely demolished, 40-7 loss in Dallas. So it was a strange week, and I was able to dodge some landmines. I did not have Jacksonville. I did not have Chicago, who a lot of people were on. They were favored by a few points.
Yep.
So
in DFS too, everyone had Chicago's defense, thinking that Brock would throw like 4 interceptions. He goes out and burns them.
Unbelievable. It's that's why we play the game, though. These are all just predictions. Whatever happens in the game, you never really know. So we are back with more picks. Guess the lines here with Jeff Lambert. He has his guesses. I have mine. So we are going to play a little guess the lines and make some more picks for you. Hopefully make some more money for you guys. You ready to hop right in, Jeff?
Let's do it.
Awesome, awesome. So several things to go over quick. Bye weeks, we have quite a few this week. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Oakland, and then, of course, we don't do Thursday night football here. And then Detroit and Miami, there is no line for because, of course, Osweiler may be starting again. And I don't care if there was. I'm not betting Detroit and Miami. I'm just staying away from that game. That sounds like an absolute train wreck from betting perspective. So we're going to hop right into the noon game slate at the Tennessee Titans taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Tennessee 3-3 coming off a really terrible loss, 21-0 against Baltimore. They were favored in that game as well. Mariota had 10 completions, and the Ravens had 11 sacks on the day. More sacks than completions. It was a brutal day for Mariota. The Chargers, I had, of course, in my tees last week, plus 8.5. They won handily against the Browns. They're 4-2. It is in Los Angeles, so I said Los Angeles by 4.5 points was my guess. What about you?
Well, not to correct you on your own podcast, but this game is actually a 9:30 a.m. tip or kickoff, and it's in Wembley Stadium, so that might change your view of this game a little bit.
Oh my gosh, that's on me. I did not do, I even got the London game last week. I made sure to make a note of it. There's another London game this week, huh? That's, yep. Oh boy, yikes. Man, I was thinking of betting this game, but it looks like I'm not going to because I hate the London games. But I'm going to stick with my pick of 4.5. I think it's a pretty solid guess.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit higher than that. I think the Chargers, I saw a stat, they're the only offense to score a offensive touchdown every week of the season this year. They're the only team to do it, which is surprising. You think of teams like the Chiefs and the Rams, they're the only team to score an offensive touchdown each week of the season. Now, the Chiefs may be, they may have entered that category because this stat came out on Sunday, so this past weekend they may have actually extended that streak as well. But I'm going to go with a full touchdown here with a 6-point spread on this game here because Tennessee looked so bad last week.
Wow, a great start for Jeff Lambert. It is exactly Chargers by 6, right on the money. Jeff 1-0. Very nice guess, Jeff. I think, boy. I know you're a big DFS guy and prop bets and fantasy everything. This last week, I think I'm done. I think I'm done with Marcus Mariota as a good quarterback. I just don't think he's good anymore. He had a breakout season several years ago, but last year he had more interceptions than touchdowns. They did make the playoffs, but you know this Tennessee team coming into the week last week 3-2. Looking to make it 4-2, and they just laid an absolute egg. They didn't score a single point, and Mariota just looked terrible. He was missing wide-open guys. Taywan Taylor was open for a 75-yard easy touchdown, and he overthrew him. I'm out. I'm selling my Mariota stock, Jeff. I think it's time. What do you think?
Well, I've been on the opposite end of that. Now, I'm not a big Mariota guy to begin with, but I own Corey Davis in a lot of leagues, and everyone's kind of given up on Corey Davis. But if you look at their schedule, so they played the Dolphins week one. Dolphins have a lockdown corner, Xavier Howard. Basically shut him down. Then they play the Texans the next week. They got a pretty good defense. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have the best cornerback in the league in Jalen Ramsey. They play the Eagles, who have a very good defense, but he ended up lighting the Eagles up with 169 yards that game. So that's the one game he played that was good. Then he plays the Bills, who are now kind of seeing that actually do have a pretty good defense. They also have a lockdown corner in Tre'Davious White. So I think, and then you get the Ravens, who have the best defense in the NFL right now. So that gauntlet of defenses that they're seeing is kind of making them look worse than they are. Now, I'm not saying that they're good by any sense of the imagination, but they're looking worse because of the defense they play so far this season. I think you come into after the bye, of course, they're playing San Diego this week, which is a pretty tough defense in its own right, and they got Hayward there as a cornerback. But after the bye, they get the Patriots, they got the Colts twice. They get the Giants on their schedule. They get the Jets on the schedule. I think they're going to have a better second half of the season. Not enough to make the playoffs, but enough to at least hopefully keep their jobs.
Yeah, for sure. But again, I mean, if you're competing for a Super Bowl, which virtually every team is, I mean, you gotta beat teams like the Jaguars defense, the Ravens defense. So they're just not doing it, and the offense looks terrible. So I never bet London games. Absolutely not. After what happened last year with the Ravens, who are favored, they got blown out by like 40 points by the Jaguars. I'm done with London. The sleep schedules being 9 hours away from home, I'm out on that. So this game just screams stay away for me. The over-under's 46, seems about right. And then Tennessee is plus 250 to win. Chargers minus 270. Do you have any bets in this game, or are we just staying away?
Yeah, I'm staying away from this game. There's just too many variables that go into playing in London that I just don't think that you can really predict. I think if one of these teams is Jacksonville, who's kind of gotten used to it, maybe
For sure. Me as well. The next game on the slate, this is looking at all the games. This one's probably my favorite game on the slate. It's the 3-2 Carolina Panthers taking on the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, who are 3-3. Philadelphia, they had a nice win last week against the Giants on Thursday Night Football, sort of got their mojo back. They're starting to look more and more like a playoff team. Carolina lost to the Redskins. Carolina, of course, was favored. We're gonna talk about them a little later in the show, but I know you're there in D.C., and I said it on the podcast last week, I am never, ever betting a Washington Redskins game this year. I have no idea what to think of that team with Alex Smith there. Adrian Peterson is their starting running back. Paul Richardson's their number one wide receiver. It's too weird of a team for me. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad. And even last week, Ben on our podcast, he bet the Panthers, of course. And I was like, dude, don't do it, man. Like, Washington, they're a weird team. Like, they'll lose to the Colts at home, but then they'll beat the Panthers. So, like, it's a weird team.
True story.
So I'm not betting on Washington at all. But Carolina 3-2. Cam Newton has looked really, really good this season. It is in Philadelphia, so I said Philly by 3 points.
I'm right in that same range as you. I think Philly kind of showed that they might be back to the Philadelphia Eagles that we saw last week. Of course, it was against the Giants, so you can't really put too much on that. But Wentz looked really good. That offense was moving the ball easily. Obviously, the Panthers got a better defense. But I think with this game being in Philly, I think they get the advantage there. I'm going to go with a 4-point favorite towards Philly.
Very solid guess. It is split the difference between your guess and my guess. Vegas says 3.5. Philly is favored by. That seems basically right on the money. You and I basically got the W. I mean, we tied that one. Philly, Jay Ajayi now out for the year, which really, really hurts them. He was a big piece to help them win the Super Bowl last year, and I just think he's a really good running back. Carolina, though, I mean, in the division that they're in, I know the Falcons kind of suck now, but the Saints are really high flying. They really, really need this win to go 4-2, because 3-3 is just not going to cut it, because the Saints are just, they're playing great football right now. So this is a very important game. I actually think the Panthers can upset Philadelphia in this game. What do you think?
I think the possibility is there. I think they've got, you know, some pretty good pieces there. Like I said, they have a pretty good defense. I think it will come down to, you know, their offensive lineman there, Eagles, Peters. I think he got hurt again last week. If he's playing and he's healthy, I think they're going to be okay. But I think once Peters goes out, that Wentz is going to be under a little bit more duress. I think it gives a little bit of advantage to the Carolina Panthers. So the upset is potential there, but I do think that the Eagles are still going to pull this one out.
Yeah, of course, you know I love my teasers. I was thinking Carolina, they're down 3.5. If you bump that up to a 10-point teaser, they can lose by 2 touchdowns and you still squeak out a win there. I kind of like that a little bit on the road, but Carolina has, they've been kind of a shaky team. Like, again, they lost to Washington. Washington is not a better team than they are. And yet, I don't really know what to think. Carolina, they're hit and miss for sure. But I actually think this is a game that they somehow end up winning. I don't know why. I just had that feeling.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I just, after watching what they did last week against Washington, and I thought they would be able to run all over them, they weren't able to do that. Cam Newton didn't look too good. Cam Newton traditionally is not a great road quarterback to begin with. I don't know. I think the Eagles just have too many weapons. I think Alshon Jeffrey is basically back to form, if not better than he was last year. Ertz is a top tight end. Probably, you know, if he's not top, you know, top two, he's probably top three or four. And I just think that their pieces that they have just in that stadium is just going to be too much for the Panthers to handle.
Great points. Great points for sure. The over-under is 45.5. That sounds about right. It actually seems a little low. I think these teams can put up some points in this one, but like you said, Jason Peters possibly out. Carolina, if they win, you're getting $165 on your $100 bet. Philadelphia minus 190 for a win for them. Like I said, I thought about teasing Carolina, but I think this is going to be, and so does Vegas, they think it's going to be a close game, but I'm staying away from this one. What about you?
Yep, staying away from this one as well.
For sure, for sure. It's going to be a tight one. I could see some teaser candidates in this one. I even like Philadelphia. You can bump them to, well, plus 6.5 is sort of meh. I don't know. I'm just staying away, like I said. All right, the next game on our slate, we have my team, the Vikings, 3-2-1, coming off a nice win at home against the garbage set for the first overall pick, Cardinals. Taking on the 3-3 Jets. Interesting matchup here. I would say if the Vikings really have Super Bowl aspirations and, of course, making the playoffs, they have to win this game on the road to be 4-2-1. That'd be a nice bounce back after losing to the Bills several weeks ago. But if they lose this game 3-3-1, you're on pace for like 8 wins, 7 wins maybe. So the Vikings really need this game. However, it is in New York, and the Jets have been playing really, really damn good football lately, beating the Colts last week and then destroying Denver the week prior. But Minnesota's a better team, so I said Minnesota by 4 points.
Yep, I got it in the same spot you do. I got Minnesota by 4. I think the Jets have been playing better, but they haven't had to rely on Sam Darnold to beat anybody yet. That running game has been pretty good, so I think that the Vikings are able to stop the run, force Darnold to beat them, and I think that the Vikings defense shows up. They kind of showed up a little bit in the last game, and I think that got their fire going. Hopefully they can get that defense they had last year back, and I think Vikings by 4.
You and I very, very close here, but not hit it on the head. It is Minnesota by 3.5 points, according to Vegas. So the Jets, home dogs in this one. Before we get into some of the bets here, I know you're a big fantasy guy, and I mean, Adam Thielen, man. I mean, what can you say about him? He is, right now, I don't want to hear any other arguments for anybody. He's the best receiver in football right now. Are you on board with me on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got it, because I think what he got now, 6 straight games now with 100 yards or more. And Kirk Cousins has that connection with him, and I just don't see anybody. It's kind of crazy to say that, because you got guys that were, you know, first-round picks. This guy was undrafted, and he's now in that, you know, consideration for best receiver in the league right now, which is insane.
Yeah, 100%. And, I mean, not only that, he didn't even have a D1 offer. He went to Mankato State here in Minnesota, a D2A football squad. They are a very good D2A team, but, again, not even a Division I player, and he's the best receiver in football right now coming into week 7. So this is a tough matchup for the Jets. Their luck, I think, is going to run out in this game. I think, you know, they have had unbelievable performances from Powell and Crowell there. It's been, they had against Denver, Crowell had 200 yards and Powell almost got to 100. He was at 99. So their running game has been really good. But Minnesota last year had the best run defense in football, and they're sort of jumping back into stride here. So I like Minnesota a lot in this game. Their money line is minus 170. I was thinking of putting some money on it, but I decided, you know, I have some other games that I got my eye on instead. Anything from this game you like? The over-under is 47. That's about it.
The over-under is probably about right, but I think, I don't know, I think I might take the Vikings in this one, just because I think they cover that. I think that, what was it, 3.5 you said?
Yep.
I don't see any way that the Jets hang with the Vikings in that high-powered offense. I don't think that Darnold, if he's asked to do it all, you know, even, let's just say, even if the Jets can run the ball, the Vikings are going to score touchdowns on most of their drives. They'll be playing catch-up eventually, and Darnold will be forced to pass it, and I don't think that's going to bode well for New York, and I think that the Vikings actually do cover that 3.5 spread.
I like it. So that sounds that's a good bet for sure. So that is an official play for you. One that I was kind of circling. I've been really good at over-unders this year, and historically that has not been the case, but like I hit mine last week, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Steelers, I said under 53, and they only put up 49. This over-under 47, that's relatively high. I can see Minnesota, A, not scoring a lot of points on the road against the Jets defense, who I think is pretty good, and then Minnesota's defense was the best in the league last year. They're sort of coming into stride. I think I'd go under here. I don't see a 24 or 23 game in this one. I can see this game being like 20 to 13, honestly, and the Vikings pulling it out and just basically a boring game, for lack of a better term. I think just these defenses are both really good. I don't see a lot of points getting scored in this one. That over-under seems a little fishy to me. I don't see 47 from either of these teams.
Yeah, I agree, especially with that spread. I mean, you would think if it was 47 that the Vikings would be favored a little bit more in a game like that. I don't think the Jets can put up that kind of points if they can't run the ball. So, yeah, I agree. I think that over-under is kind of low, or kind of high.
Next game on our slate, we have the 2-4 Nathan Peterman-led Buffalo Bills coming into Indianapolis, taking on somehow worse than the Bills, the 1-5 Colts. Boy, oh boy, it's been really, I mean, Buffalo we expected not to be good. In fact, I'd actually go as far to say as it's actually been a pretty good season for the Bills. I mean, they upset the Vikings, they upset Tennessee, who was 3-1. So the Bills, I mean, 2-4, that sounds bad, but I don't think they expected to be 2-4 coming into week 7. The Colts, on the other hand, getting Andrew Luck back, 1-5, basically already out of the playoff race, looking at a high draft pick. It is in Indianapolis, and like we said, Josh Allen will not be playing in this game. Nate Peterman named the starter already. I said Indy by 6 points.
Let me see. So we got Nathan Peterman starting. I just saw a notification come through on my phone, and I didn't get a chance to really look at it. But something about that. One of the coaches he's worried about losing the locker room if he plays Nathan Peterman. I don't know what other options they really have there. I mean, they have to play him. If Allen can't go, then yeah, they definitely got to play him. So yeah, I think, you know, we saw Peterman is pretty, he's pretty terrible. And I think we've seen enough tape on him to know that he's pretty terrible. On the flip side of that, that Colts defense is that not as bad as everyone thought it was going to be. I think they, at one point were leading the league in sacks. They might not be up there anymore, but they were a pretty good defense as far as getting after the quarterback, so that doesn't bode well for Peterman either. The only thing on the Colts side that's kind of interesting is they have no receivers left. I mean, T.Y. Hilton may or may not come back this week, but they lost Ryan Grant and their third string, Rodgers, may not even play either. So who knows who they even have to throw to right now. I think they've got a guy named by Pascal or Pasqual or something like that. He's their top receiver as of right now, unless T.Y. Hilton does come back. So in that respect, I think that the Bills can shut down this Colts offense, keep it a little bit closer than it probably should be. So I do think the Colts will win this game. I think it's going to be probably a 3.5-point spread. I think the Colts by 3.5.
Yeah, you made some great points, and I have a big, big bet in this game. But you're kind of scaring me with your logic here. I said Indy by 6. You said 3.5. It's actually, since Nate Peterman has been named the starter, it is Indy by 6.5 points, almost a 7-point touchdown advantage for Indianapolis, which on paper, I mean, Indy's 1-5. They even have a worse record than the Bills. That's insane. But like you were saying, Nate Peterman is terrible. Not only is he's terrible. If he retired today, he would be considered the worst quarterback in NFL history. 5 picks in 1.5 last year. He comes in to try and save the game last week against the Texans, who I had in my teaser, and he throws a pick 6 to end the ball game, and then throws another pick when they're trying to go back and get the 7 points back. He, right now, is just, it's basically, he's just, the internet has destroyed him. He's a total meme. Everybody's on his case. So, in this game, normally I have a parlay and my teaser, but you know, this week I'm just so confident in the Colts, even with, I think T.Y. Hilton's going to be back. I have $1,000 on the Colts money line, -270. So $1,000 wins you just shy of $400. I think it's a very safe pick. Easy $400 should be. There's no way Nate Peterman ever wins a game in his career. They're just too bad. And like you said, the locker room. I completely agree with that. That's an interesting notification you got on your phone, because I thought, like, why not just pick up somebody off the streets? Why do you have to play Nate Peterman? I'm sure they have a third string quarterback. He can't be as bad as Nate Peterman has been. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree. I think a practice squad guy at this point could be better than Peterman is right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown nothing. He's shown absolutely nothing. He's, like I said, if he retires tomorrow, he's going down as the worst quarterback in NFL history. But man, you scared me. You scared me a bit, Jeff, with your thinking behind this game. I mean, you're right. The Buffalo secondary, I've been saying it for weeks now, is one of the best in the NFL. I mean, Tre'Davious White, Poyer, Micah Hyde, they have an excellent secondary, and yet Indianapolis's receivers are really banged up. Now, is Ryan Grant, he is officially out for this game, or questionable?
He's questionable. I think pretty much every receiver on their team right now is questionable with ankle injuries. I think Ryan Grant is probably more on the doubtful side of questionable, but he's officially listed as questionable. And then I think, like I said, T.Y. Hilton's out. I think their third guy, Rogers, also got hurt. He only missed the last part of the game, I believe. So he may be back. He may not even be that injured. But it's just, you know, even with those guys in there, I mean, it's like T.Y. Hilton misses. Even with, you know, Ryan Grant, you know, and Rogers there, you're not really scared of those guys by any stretch of the imagination. The best receiver they have on there is a tight end. That's Ebron. And when your best receiver is Ebron, who's a tight end, is known for dropping touchdowns, it's not really a good thing to hang your hat on. And then, of course, the running game isn't very good either. They can't run the ball, and the Bills' defense has shown us that they're actually pretty decent. If they can somehow keep Peterman from throwing interceptions and just hand the ball off to Shady McCoy, you know, they can keep this game pretty close and have a chance to win it at the end, because I don't think the Colts will be able to pull away from them.
Why do you got to use logic on me, Jeff? I already made my pick, so I'm sticking to it, though. The big thing for this game for me is that Indianapolis is at home. If it was in Buffalo, I would stay away from this game. But it's Indy at home. It's Andrew Luck. He's a top 10 quarterback. I think he's going to be able to, even with the receivers he has. I mean, he throughout his career, he really hasn't had virtually any weapons. I mean, Hilton even isn't that great of a receiver either. So I believe in Andrew Luck, and there's no way they're 1-6 after this week. I just don't see it. What about you?
I think they do pull it out. I think, yeah, if you're playing the money line on that one, then yeah, I think you should be good on that.
For sure. The over-under is 42.5. That sounds about right. Maybe even a little high. Buffalo, yeah, I just don't see them being 3-4. That would be the most amazing 3-4 I've ever seen in my life, because they are just on paper. People thought they were going to go 0-16 this year. There was a lot of talk and chatter that was a true possibility this year. So I have Indy, $1,000 on them. And I should mention as well, I got a $200 10-point teaser this week, which takes Indianapolis -6.5 and bumps it to Indy +3.5. So throwing that in there. So if the Colts do blow this game, I mean, I'm having a terrible week. There's no doubt about it. So I got a lot invested in the Colts this week. So Indianapolis +3.5 is one of the legs of my teaser. That's a bet that I feel pretty confident on.
I'm avoiding this game altogether. I think that I've always kind of made it a point to not bet on bad teams when they're playing each other. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, traditionally, sometimes you get those bad teams together. I remember the game a few years ago, it was like Bengals and Browns, and they were both terrible. And the game was like 40-43 or something crazy. No one thought they could put those kind of points up on the board. But you get two bad teams together, you never know what's going to happen. So I'm avoid this game altogether.
Oh, boy. You know, my bookie doesn't offer refunds. I already placed the bet, so I'm shit out of luck right now. But you're definitely right. That's an excellent point. You know, you see it all the time. Last year, the Rams versus your 49ers, that was a high-flying game, and of course the Rams were not considered good at that point. and they had a new coach. Yep. And so that game again, and the 49ers almost won, and the Rams were a Super Bowl contender. So you never really know. Next game on our slate, we have the 4-2 New England Patriots taking on the 3-2 Bears. Now, Jeff, I was talking to a buddy last week, week six, everything in the NFL sort of normalized. I mean, you got Houston, who was 0-3 at one point. They sort of bounced back this week. They're 3-3 now. New England, everybody earlier in the year, everybody was talking about, like, what's going on in New England? They're 1-2. They're now 4-2. They've won three straight. And then another thing is the Bears, who I thought were just going to be shitty as usual this year. They were 3-1 coming into the Miami game. They were favored too. Vegas thought they'd be 4-1 after that game. So the Bears blew it and were back to their old selves. So they look not to be a big threat for the playoffs. So everything sort of normalized. I mean, the Vikings won as well. Green Bay won too. So it was a pretty chalky week. I mean, the favorites won. And things are sort of back to normal. We know the good playoff teams like New Orleans, Minnesota, Kansas City, New England, everything's sort of falling into place. I mean, we don't have too many weird, strange, how the fuck are they 4-1 teams. The one that I will say is the Bengals being 4-2 is pretty strange. But But yeah, so Chicago, it's in Chicago. New England playing on the road, coming off a nice win in Kansas against Kansas City. Chicago just, I talked on our podcast last week, me and Ben, about how can we like hold off on like the Bears are a good team. Like they hadn't played anybody good, and yet they were 3-1. And the Dolphins aren't very good, and they just absolutely blew that game in overtime. So, yep. With all that being said, it's the Patriots playing on the road. I said New England by 4.5.
Patriots on the road. And let's see. That Bears offense has just been, I mean, they're sort of like, they're going to score from 50 yards out, or they're just not going to score at all, it seems like, with Tarik Cohen and stuff like that.
Yep.
Taylor Gabriel out there lighting them up too on some long deep passes, but I still think the Patriots find a way to get it done. They're very good at taking away your best player. They did it with the Chiefs the other night. They took away Travis Kelce basically and said beast with somebody else, even allowing Tyreek Hill to run rampant. And I don't think the Bears have enough weapons to even compensate for them taking away whoever they did have to take away, whether it's Tarik Cohen, whether it's Allen Robinson, whether it's Gabriel, whoever it is that they decide to take away out of the game. There's not enough other talent there to make up that ground. Defensively, I do think the Bears will get after Tom Brady and make it a little bit more difficult and a little bit interesting, but in the end, the Patriots have put up three straight games with at least 38 points. I think the Patriots pull away, and I'm going to go Patriots by 6.
I like the thinking behind it. It is on the road, however, so they give Chicago a little more respect than they probably deserve. It's New England by 3 points is the spread as of a couple minutes ago on my bookie. Yeah, that's about what I expected. I gave them a little more of a nudge at 4.5, but this is an interesting game. I mean, you got Matt Nagy, new coach, looking for a big win to rally the team. If they get this W, Chicago, they'll be 4-2. And yet, even at 4-2, I still don't see them making the playoffs. I mean, they play Green Bay again. They play Minnesota twice. I mean, I just don't see a path for them to make the playoffs. I have New England in my 10-point teaser this week. I am bumping New England -3 to +7. They can lose by a touchdown, which I just don't see happening. I think it's probably probably my favorite leg in my teaser. What do you think about that one?
That's a good one there. I think I'm just, if I'm saying Patriots by 6, I think I may actually put some money on this game too. That we said was 3.5. That's too low for me. I think that we'll see that line move. I think the Patriots have found a running game, which they haven't really had much of. Their running game used to be their passing game, but now they got Sony Michel back there to keep that Bears defense off balance. Tom Brady hasn't played like Tom Brady really over the past couple of games. I think he gets back to being Tom Brady. I think Gronk is back to being Gronk. I think that we see
I'm there with you, man. I totally agree. Like I said, it's the favorite, my favorite leg of that teaser. The over-under is 50 points. New England minus 145 and Chicago plus 125 for those money lines. Yeah, I like New England money line at just 145, minus 145. That's a solid pick, too. But, yeah, it sounds like you like New England minus 3. We're definitely going to see that line move up to 4, 4.5 by week's end for sure.
I agree 100%. I think if you can get in right now, get in.
Yeah, most definitely. The next game on our slate, we have the 2-3-1 Cleveland Browns taking on the Buccaneers of Tampa Bay, 2-3. God, I don't want to watch a second of this game, Jeff. But I just, oh boy, this is a rough one. It's in Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston coming back. He looked pretty good, and I know you have him on a ton of your fantasy teams for some reason. He's coming back.
He had 39 points.
I played him. I picked him up off the waiver wire in my one league. I love that pick. I saw on DraftKings he was like 70% owned and 50-50, something ridiculous like that.
Yep.
And he went off. He had a great game against Atlanta. Cleveland, though, I mean, they were sort of the hot team a couple weeks ago, 2-1-1. They were looking like they could possibly, if they win a couple ones against the Chargers and this game, they could sneak into the playoffs. But I mean, they look to be their old selves, man. They lost by over 20 points last week against the Chargers, who I had in my tees. So thank you, Cleveland, for that. But yeah, Tampa Bay looked pretty good. They hung with the Falcons last week, and it is in Tampa Bay. So I said Tampa Bay by 2 points.
See, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their offense is, believe it or not, pretty good. I mean, we saw Fitzpatrick lighten teams up. They still can't run the ball, though, which does kind of hurt them. And I think the strength of the Browns is with the pass, you know, as far as defense. They can get the quarterback a little bit. They have a pretty decent secondary. And the fact that the Bucs can't run the ball will play right into Cleveland Browns' hands. It won't be able to keep them off balance. So I think that the game will be a close game, and I'm going to go Bucs by a field goal.
Very nice guess, Jeff. It is exactly Tampa Bay by 3. I should have just looked at this line and just slapped 3 on it. Yeah, I got a little cute with 2, but it is Tampa Bay by a field goal. You've hit 2 right on the head now. I think we're pretty close to tied. I think it's 3-3 now. But yeah, I like it. I like I actually like Cleveland in this game. I don't know why. You made some good points. Like their secondary is really good, and they can get after the quarterback. Also, Jameis hasn't. This was his first game back last week. He did look really good, but you know it takes a little while to get back in the swing of things. So
let's face it. That Atlanta defense is it'll probably make me or you look pretty good, because I think they're 32nd DVOA versus the pass. They're terrible. So I think if they put Peterman back there, he probably could look good. So,
very good point.
Take that game, grain of salt.
Yeah, very good point for sure. Cleveland, I mean, if they win this game, they're 3-3-1 on pace for basically like 8-8, 9-7, or 9-6-1. This is pretty close to a must win for them, because the AFC, I'm shocked, man. The AFC. During our over-unders podcast in the summer, we talked about how weak it was. You just basically had the Steelers and the Patriots, and really it was wide open. But you got teams like Kansas City, Baltimore's looking really good. The Chargers are hot right now. So they can't be 2-4-1 after this game if they really think they can make the playoffs. So this is pretty close to a must-win for them, and it should be a win. I mean, Tampa Bay they're not good, man. They're not a good team. Their defense is awful as well. Anything you like in this game? Anything stick out?
I did want to mention, and I don't know if you caught this or not, but the Bucs actually fired their defensive coordinator this week. Anytime you're firing your defensive coordinator, you know, 6 weeks into the season, it's never a good thing. So I don't think that, you know, that your defense is going to get any better in a week. You know, maybe over time, whoever they decide to put there as a coach can change things around. But going into a week where you got to bring a defensive coordinator, or if they have one at all, it's not going to bode well for their defense. I do think I think you're good on the Browns. I think if you're going to pick an upset game, this is the one I'd want to take.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The over-under is 50 points, just like the New England-Chicago game. Browns plus 145 for the W. Tampa Bay minus 165. This is just going to be... I can't... If you ask me to predict this final score, I couldn't give you an answer. This game could be 10-7. It could be 40-45. I honestly have no idea what we're going to see from either of these teams. I don't like to talk a lot of like prop bets and fantasy, but I really like Baker Mayfield this week. I haven't checked the prop bets really, but I mean, in fantasy, DFS, I really like him and Landry. That could be a nice stack because Tampa Bay is just atrocious on the defensive side of the ball. They are awful. They're the worst defense in the league. They fired Mike Smith, like you said. I like some Cleveland offense. I think their defense can shut down Winston, and I think their offense can have a big day. So I like the Browns in this game.
Yeah, I do as well. I think that 3-point spread is going to be good. I'll take the Browns plus 3.
For sure, for sure. The next game on our slate, we have the 3-3 Houston Texans taking on the 3-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, of course, starting off the year, Houston 0-3, and then Jacksonville started off hot 3-1. It was looking like Jacksonville's, this was their division. I mean, they almost made the Super Bowl last year, but how things can change in just a couple weeks, it is now a 3-way tie for the division right now. I have no idea who's going to win this division, Jeff. I mean, you got Houston 3-3, Tennessee 3-3, and Jacksonville 3-3, and then the Colts. Even the Colts, if they got a couple upset wins, they could be right back in it. No team wants to win this division for some reason. I have no idea who's going to come out of this division. So it's the weirdest division in football. I mean, I saw a couple playoff teams from this division in Tennessee and Jacksonville. But I don't know what to think anymore. So we'll see what happens in the next coming weeks. But it is in Jacksonville. Jacksonville looked atrocious against the Cowboys. Houston looked okay against the Bills. They snuck out a win on the pick six. So I honestly said it was a PK, spread of 0. I just thought, you know, I have no idea where to go on this game. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as you are. I think with the, you know, Jacksonville sort of slipping up lately here. Houston has kind of found their stride, but they're not doing it in dominant fashion. They're still kind of struggling to beat teams that they should probably beat handily. I don't know if they've even found an identity yet. You know, obviously they got, you know, some good pieces there with Watson and Hopkins and Fuller, and they got this new guy, Kiki Coti or QT, whatever his name is. So good passing offense, but they still have Lamar Miller, who seems to not be able to get anything done on the ground. Their defense, it should be better than it is. I mean, I think it's still a pretty decent defense, but some of the names on that defense, they should be better than they are. And then on the Jacksonville Jaguars side, I think they are missing Fournette a lot. I think that you can kind of correlate their wins and losses with Fournette playing or not. Even if he's not necessarily having a good game, it's just the threat of the run is there, and I don't think it's there quite with Yeldon. So I think that threat of the run, I mean, we've seen it with a bunch of teams that lose their sort of bell cow back. I mean, we've seen it with the Saints. It's no surprise that the Saints played better defense in the last game because they had Mark Ingram back. Previous to that, they were terrible because they didn't have Mark Ingram. I think the Vikings, they can't run the ball without Dalvin Cook, and they've struggled. I think that, you know, teams that can't run the ball, their defense tends to look a lot worse than they were, and I think that's what's happening with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They can't run the ball, and their defense is not looking quite as dominant as it was earlier in the season. And I think because of that, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a pick-em. I think this is going to be a toss-up. There's really no way to give one advantage to the other.
Preach it, man. I could not agree with you more. Hey, another team we just talked about, Tampa Bay, I don't know their starting running back's name, and their defense is the worst in the league. So great points. Great, great points. So you have it as a pick 'em as well. We were pretty off on this one, and it looks like this is our trap game of the week. It is Jacksonville by 4. So they're giving them over a field goal in this game. I don't know how the guys in Vegas came up with this spread. This makes no sense to me. I personally think Houston is a better team. I get that Jacksonville's playing at home, but they just fucking lost to the Cowboys, who are terrible, by 33 points. I don't know how you came up with this spread, Vegas. I really don't understand it. So when the spread is as off as I think it is, that usually means it's a trap game. So Jacksonville will probably win this game handily. I see this as my trap game of the week, man. I've been pretty good at picking them, and this just screams trap game. Jacksonville has no business being favored by 4 right now.
I agree 100%. And I think the only thing that, you know, you got to kind of look at, and I think what's kind of happened last week to the Bears, is the weather right now in that area. I think the Dolphins game, I believe, was 86 degrees temperature-wise in the Bears. You could tell they were exhausted because of that heat. And I think looking at the weather right now, it looks like it's going to be 76 degrees, so not quite as hot. So maybe that, you know, doesn't really favor Jacksonville quite as much. But I think if it's going to get, you know, in the 80s there, I think Jacksonville, because they play there all the time, may have a slight advantage over the Houston Texans, who play in that, you know, weather-controlled dome of theirs and probably aren't used to playing in 86-degree weather. But I agree, trap game. I don't see this being a four-point game for Jacksonville. I think the Houston Texans have got enough to keep pace with them, and I think that I still stick to my pick'em, and I think that's where I'm going with this one.
For sure. So, I mean, since we think it's a pick'em, we would obviously lean Houston. But there's the fact that we're so off on the spread, I mean, it screams trap game. I don't see any way why it wouldn't be. Jacksonville, I know they're coming off two straight losses, but, you know, they looked really, really good early on in the year. Like, possible Super Bowl contender again. But it's really fallen off a cliff. Again, I have no idea who's winning this division. You could talk me into Houston. You could talk me into Tennessee. Jacksonville, I mean, is probably the favorite. I have no idea what to do about that division. So we'll see. This is a big, big division game for them. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. The over-under is 42. Houston plus 175 for the W. Jacksonville minus 210. But it sounds like, first of all, I'm staying away from any bets in this game, but it sounds like you kind of like Houston in this game, or do we just think it's a trap?
I think it's a trap. I'm not playing this game. I'm going to avoid this game. When it's a defensive battle like I think it's going to be, I don't think that I'm going to put any money on that game.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Next game on our slate, we have the 4-1 New Orleans Saints taking on the 4-2 Baltimore Ravens. Behind the Carolina Philly game, this is probably my favorite game on the slate. Two very, very good teams. One really good on the offensive side of the ball. One has the best defense in football. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great game. It is in Baltimore. They just absolutely destroyed Tennessee, like we said last week. Mariota got sacked 11 times and only completed 10 passes. I mean, I can't think of a more dominant defensive statistic than that. They really just killed him. And then New Orleans, they've looked red hot. They were my pick to win the AFC South or NFC South. So that's looking like a good bet too. All that being said, a good defense playing a good offense, a bad defense playing the Baltimore is not a good offense. So I said New Orleans by 1.5.
Yeah, I think, you know, Drew Brees' struggles on the road is well documented, especially in an outdoor stadium like Baltimore is. You know, I kind of live in this area. It's supposed to be, you know, in the 60s, I believe. It looks like game time temp's supposed to be about 53 degrees, so it will be a little bit colder outside. I think having Mark Ingram back helps them a little bit, but the fact that the Ravens, I don't believe, have allowed a 100-yard rusher in something crazy like 20 straight games or something like that, so I don't see Ingram even being a factor there. Drew Brees struggles, I think, you know, against the Ravens, and I think it's going to be closer than people expect. They think the Saints are going to come in here and just, you know, be that high-powered offense, and I don't see it happening. I don't think the Saints' defense is good enough to slow the Ravens down, because I know you said the Ravens' offense isn't very good. I think you'd be surprised that they're ranked a little bit higher than you might think they are. I think they're actually 9th or 10th in the league right now in total offense, so not a terrible offense. And if the Saints' defense doesn't play the way it did in this last game and plays more like it did in the beginning of the season, they could be in trouble. I think John Brown averages the most air yards, which is basically how far, you know, the pass is when he first catches it. He's leading the league in air yards because Flacco's just airing it out 50 yards down the field to John Brown. As long as he's healthy, that offense is going to be good. I think that passing game, believe it or not, sets up the run game, which is kind of weird when you think about the Ravens. You know, you don't think of that being a passing offense, but think Flacco has the second most attempts from a quarterback perspective in the league. I think up until last week, Drew Brees was leading that category. Of course, he had a bye. But if you're going to go on a per-game basis, I think Joe Flacco is number two in pass attempts. So I think it's going to be a heavyweight battle. I think it's going to be well fought. I do give the advantage a little bit to the Ravens, but I'm going to go with the Saints as a slight favorite just based on their, you know, their history. I think they're going to be probably a two-point favorite on the road.
You and I say New Orleans by two. It is actually the other way around. Baltimore by 2.5 at home. You made some great points.
Should have stuck to my gut.
Go ahead.
I should have stuck to my gut. I said I like the Ravens. I should have just gone with the Ravens as the favorite. Oh, well.
Yeah, it happens. But New Orleans, I mean, they're 4-1 and have looked high-flying, so I thought they'd be favored by a point or maybe it would be a pick-em, but they think Baltimore by 2.5. You know, to echo your point earlier, I have one bet in this game. I have a $50 under on the over-under, of course. 49.5 is the over-under. You made some great points. I mean, Drew Brees on the road. He's 39. The run game is going to be shut down by Baltimore. And then Baltimore, I know statistically they've had some good games against, like, they put 47 on Buffalo. Their stats are a little skewed. They only put up 10 points on Cleveland several weeks ago. So I still don't believe in their offense, really. So I really don't know why the over-under is almost 50 points. I don't get it. So I'm going under there for sure. I don't see this game. They think it's going to be basically a shootout. I don't see that at all from these teams. I think it's going to be slow moving. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're just going to milk the clock a lot. And I don't see this getting up to 50 points. What do you think about that pick?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's an interesting way for Vegas to swing it. If Ravens are going to be favored, you'd think it'd be a low-scoring game. I would have thought if they thought those Saints were going to win, that it would be a higher-scoring game because the Ravens wouldn't be able to keep pace with the Saints' offense. But it's just sort of an oxymoron when you say Ravens are favored, but it's going to be almost a 50-point game there. I agree. I think I'm going to go under on that as well.
For sure, man. For sure. I just Drew Brees on the road. He's just struggled historically. And, he's getting up there. It could go at any time, man. The talent can slip. We saw, I've been talking about this last week with, I watched the highlights of the Chargers game against Oakland, and we saw it with Carson Palmer just falling off a cliff last year. The way that Rivers, like, is throwing the ball, like, there's something weird with his mechanics. He's 37 now. Like, he's, the talent's fading, man. You know, they're just laboring out there to throw it. I don't know. And that could happen at Brees. He's almost a 40-year-old man. So you never know. You never know. But Baltimore I like in this game. The more and more you said, you were making some great points. New Orleans, but at the same time, I could see New Orleans just, like, destroying Baltimore. So this, from a spread perspective, money line, I am staying far away from this. I can't pick this game. What about you?
Honestly, I think I might, now that I know the Ravens are favored, I don't know. I think you're right. I think I'm gonna go the same route there. Drew Brees, I'm looking at Drew Brees' splits right now, and just over the last five seasons, he's got 40 away games, 40 home games. So his home games, he's got 104 touchdowns. His away games in the same amount of, I'm sorry, yeah, his away games is the same amount of games. He only has 70 touchdowns, so about 35 less touchdowns on the road than he does at home. I can't do it. I think if the Saints were favored like I had thought, I would have gone with the Ravens there, but because the Ravens are favored, I think I'm going to stay away from this game altogether.
Yeah, I would as well. I would as well. But I do like the under. I don't see this being a shootout. I don't really understand the spread. I would have it at, like, 44.5. I don't know why it's 49.5. That's way too high. So I'm going with the under.
That's a good call, actually. I was thinking just picking the game, but you're right. The under, I think I would take in this game because I don't think there's any way that this gets to 49 points. There's just no way.
For sure. All right, the next game we're going to be talking about, 3-25 start. We have the 3-3 Dallas Cowboys taking on the Redskins of Washington. Of course, Jeff, you're in the D.C. area there, so can't wait to hear your opinion on this because you love smashing the talking heads and radio guys in D.C. So they are 3-2, and like I said earlier in this pod, every year There's a team that I just can't seem to get right. Last year it was Tennessee. They seem to win games that they weren't supposed to win and lose games they were supposed to win. Also, the Cardinals last year were 8-8, and they sort of had a weird, like, they beat good teams but lose to bad teams. So Washington is that way this year. I can't pick a Washington Redskins game. They lost to the Colts at home for the Colts only win, yet they'll beat the Packers by two touchdowns, and then they'll beat Carolina by a touchdown. Like, I don't know what to think about this team. So it is at home, and Dallas looked really good last week. I have Washington by 2 points.
Yeah, of course, this is a huge game for the Washington Redskins, just in general from a fan base perspective. They call this Dallas Week. It's a big promotion that they run pretty much every year when Dallas comes to town. The whole city is, you know, hating on Dallas. And, of course, believe it or not, this area has a very high population of Dallas fans, so it can get sometimes ugly in this area, especially with, you know, listening to radio stations and you got Dallas fans calling in and, you know, pumping their team up and Redskins fans coming back and pumping their team up. So it's a huge thing. I think the crowd will be really, really into it. The Redskins have a winning record. You know, it's something that they haven't had very often over the last couple years. So even at 3-2, it's still a winning record. Dallas comes in here, a chance to go 4-2. The crowd's going to be crazy into it. I think that the Redskins actually should be favored in this game by a field goal.
You say 3, I say 2. Vegas actually sides with me on this one, Jeff. It is Washington by 2 points, just like I thought. Having a spread be 2 is kind of strange. You know, you like to see 2.5 or 3. I don't know how they got to 2, but I don't know how I got to 2. I just sort of was like, you know, I could see them favored by a couple points here. But Dallas just... I thought Jason Garrett, like, coming into last week was gonna be his last week as coach. Nope, they win by freaking over 30 points against a good Jacksonville defense. Cole Beasley has, like, 2 touchdowns. Dak Prescott ran one in. Like, it was a strange week in that game. So Dallas, I don't know what to think of anymore. And then Washington, of course, I just can't get them right. They'll probably lose this game even though they're favored. So I have no idea what to think about this game. It is a classic, classic stay-away game for me. Anything in this game that you got your eye on?
No, I think I'm with you. I think I'm staying away from this game. It's a division game. It's a historic rivalry that we know, you know, things don't always go as planned. I think the year that Cowboys went 1-15, their one win was versus the Redskins, and then the year the Redskins went nearly undefeated, you know, their first loss was against the Cowboys, and it's just one of those things where you never know what's going to happen in this game. I think there was a game a few years ago where Cowboys were up big going into the fourth quarter, and then Santana Moss went bonkers, and they ended up winning that game by a touchdown. So I can't bet this game to save my life. I think it'll be fun to watch, but I'm not putting anything on it.
Yep, couldn't agree more with you. I mean, this just, I don't know, I thought Dallas was going to be, they showed the first few weeks, they were terrible, and then yet, just a couple weeks later, they beat a playoff team last year by 30 points. Football's a weird sport, man. So, the over-under is 41, the spread money line is pretty close to even, basically. Yeah, I told Ben to shoot me in the chest 30 times if I ever bet a Redskins game. I'm staying away from this game. Not going to bet anything on it. This team, the Washington team, is just really weird. It's just a really strange team. They have Alex Smith, who's old, who sort of is like his career has been rejuvenated as he gets older. Adrian Peterson, 34 years old. He is their starting running back. I mean, their defense has actually been pretty good. I just don't know what to think of this team. You got Jay Gruden as coach. It's just a weird team. I'm never betting a Redskins game this year.
Agreed, 100%.
All right, the next game on our slate is, this one looks to be a doozy. It involves your team, Jeff. We got the 6-0 Los Angeles Rams setting the league on fire, taking on the 1-5 San Francisco 49ers, who are doing the exact opposite. They have been just freezing cold as of late. Very impressed with them last night, though, Jeff. They really, really played well on the road. Bethford, the loss of Jimmy G, it really hurts, but he's a really good backup quarterback. Bethford looked really good. And the defense played really well against Rodgers on Monday night in Lambeau. Tough place to play. So, yeah, the Rams, I thought there was going to be a little trappiness to that Denver game, and there was, because Denver did cover the 7. They lost by a field goal. But I thought Denver actually had a chance to upset the Rams last week, but they did not. So it looks like the Rams are the team to beat in the NFL right now, the only undefeated team taking on a team that's 1-5. I said Rams by 11.
Yeah, my boys actually surprised me last night as well with their showing, and I kind of mentioned this to one of my writers who's doing an article on this, but Kyle Shanahan seems to be like the quarterback whisperer right now. I mean, you figure you go all the way back to his years in Washington, you know, he made RG3 a thing. He drafted Kirk Cousins, and now Kirk Cousins is, you know, one of the top quarterbacks, and he kind of groomed him a little bit. Then he goes to Atlanta, and Matt Ryan has his career season, Super Bowl season. He goes to San Francisco, and Jimmy G comes there, and they win whatever, they have 6 games straight last year. And then he goes down, and this guy, Patrick, steps up, and, you know, he's actually looking really good. I mean, that offense last night was not dink and dunk. They were throwing the ball down the field to Goodwin. They actually looked like a decent football team last night. So he's kind of made this, you know, this offense go. And I think that, you know, as much as I want to say that I want to pick the 49ers here, I think I'm going to be a realistic fan and say that's not going to happen. But I will say this. This is a division game. These two teams do not like each other. Going back to even our Super Bowl season, when I think we went 13-3, two of our losses were against this team, the Rams, who were terrible that year. They beat us twice anyway. So I think this game will be closer than everyone expects it to be. I know it's going to be probably a huge spread. I think it's going to be probably a double-digit spread, like you mentioned, 11 points. But I'm going to go ahead and say that the spread probably is about 14. But at the same time, I kind of like my boys to keep it close.
Yeah, you made some great points. Again, last night, boy, they had me sweating. It was a mess. The Packers were down 7 and with like five, six minutes left, and the 49ers had the ball. They could have scored another touchdown there or a field goal, and the game would have been out of reach. But Aaron Rodgers isn't human, and he was able to come back. And, it made for a great Monday night game. But I was very impressed with San Fran. And even last week I was talking to Ben, I was thinking – and I mean, the teaser hit either way, but I was thinking of putting San Fran plus 23 in my teaser, because 23 points is a shit ton. That would have been a great pick, too, because they only lost by a field goal. So the actual spread in this game, though, however, I got it right on the money here, Jeff. It is Rams by 11 points. If it was at home, of course, Rams would be favored by 14, like you said, but it is on the road, so they sort of knock 3 points off that. Yeah, I like this matchup. I think it's going to be a more interesting game than people think. I even think that the Rams could possibly get upset in this game. What do you think?
It's definitely a possibility. Like I said, these teams don't like each other. They've played well against each other for a long time. You mentioned the game last year that was on a Thursday night. Ended up being one of the better games of the season on a Thursday. I think maybe even the best Thursday night game I've watched in a long time. And they, I just think that the 49ers are playing better than even I expected them to play. I mean, we basically lost our quarterback one. You know, we lost, you know, Jimmy G. We lost our running back, McKinnon. Goodwin's been in and out of the lineups. He's our number one receiver. Our defense is banged up, and we're still finding ways to at least stay in games that, you know, especially games that we shouldn't even be close in, like last night, you know, with the Packers. We're really a pass interference or a holding call from winning that game last night because Aaron Rodgers got sacked on third down. It should have been our ball, but the illegal contact from Richard Sherman grabbing a receiver kind of gave them more life, and they drove down and got the touchdown. So had that gone a different way, it could have been a win for us last night. So I think it'll be closer than expected. And honestly, I think I may pick my Niners to upset the Rams.
Yeah, I actually really like – I'm not going to bet on it. I really don't bet a lot of spreads. I just usually throw teams in teasers. But I do really like San Fran plus 11 in this game. I think that's too many points. I think it should be maybe like 8 or 9. But yeah, I could see them only losing by a touchdown or a field goal. So I like San Fran in this game a lot. They really showed me a lot coming in Monday night. Bedford, they looked really good. Goodwin is a monster. He's just so fast and athletic. It's really nice to see him back on the field. But in this game, I got to go with it. I got to put the Rams in my T's here. They've just been too good this year, have been dominating teams. So the last leg of my $200 teaser, I have Rams minus one. So basically just have to win the game. So that completes my teaser. We got New England plus seven, Indianapolis plus 3.5, and then the Rams minus one. Completes that 10-pointer. What do you think about that pick?
That's a good pick there. And like I said, I think I'm going to take my Niners plus the 11. I think when you got a spread that large with the home team and a division game, I just think that you got to take that. I think that's just too big of a spread for me with the Rams coming into our building where we typically play a lot better anyway. I'm taking Niners plus 11.
I like it. I like it a lot. The over-under is 53. The Rams minus 600 money line. San Fran plus 450. Like I said, if you really do think that the Rams can upset, or the 49ers can upset them, I mean, plus 450 is a lot of money, man. So I can see this game being close. Shanahan is just, he's a really good coach, man. And so I think something weird's going to happen, but I do think the Rams, I mean, they're just so well coached. McVay is incredible. And so I can see the Rams just winning this one. So I threw them in my tees. They basically just have to win the game, and you're good.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week here in Washington because not only do you have Redskins week with Cowboys and Redskins playing each other, but these two head coaches were former coaches of the Redskins. So they get to watch these two guys go head-to-head and, you know, I know we haven't been playing very well as far as our team, but I think in the long run, I think Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach. Obviously, McVay is a really good coach. He's got that team playing exceptionally well. So Redskins can kind of watch this game and be like, you know, what if we had kept these guys?
You know, what could have been? You know, you never know. All right, the Sunday night primetime game. Surprisingly a good game. I don't know how the NFL predicted Cincinnati in this game, but they are 4-2. The Bengals coming in to Kansas City, taking on the 5-1 Chiefs. Very interesting matchup here. I mean, Cincinnati has looked really good this year. I totally thought they were going to go there under. Over-under was 7 wins this year. I had them under by a lot. But they've surprised a lot of people. Their offense looks really good. And then Kansas City has been blowing up the AFC. They look to be the best team in the AFC. 5-1. It is at home. I said Kansas City by 4 points.
Yeah, this game, I think we've had two straight weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong because you do this a little bit more than I do. But I think we've had two straight weeks where we've had a game at a 57-point spread. If I was to pick a game to be that, I would pick this game. I think it's going to be a ton of offense in here. Both teams are struggling on defense, especially the Chiefs. They can't stop the run or the pass. Bengals have been lighting it up as well, and I think this will be a very, very high-scoring game, but I do give the advantage to the Chiefs being at home, being an Arrowhead. I think that they do find a way to win, and I'm going to give them a plus 3.5 in this one.
Yep, you and I are in the same ballpark here, but Vegas does not agree with us. They say Kansas City favored by 6 points, which, right off the bat, that's way too high. I mean, 6 points is a lot in the NFL. Cincinnati, I mean, their offense is so potent. And, you know, their defense, their front seven is really good with Perfect back. And, you know, they got Geno Atkins and Dunlap. And they just have a really solid front seven. So I think they're going to be able to stop Kareem Hunt. But just Mahomes, right now, he's the MVP favorite. He's just playing out of his mind. Even in the loss to the Patriots last week, he just played incredible. Tyreek Hill, 3 touchdowns. So you're right, though. You're right about the spread or the over-under. It is at 58.5 points is the over-under, which is ridiculously high. I think the highest we've had this year was last week. New England versus Kansas City was 60 points, 59.5. So another high over-under here. Any game that the Chiefs play in is going to be high because they have a great offense and they have a terrible defense. So yeah, we'll see what happens. This one thing that I saw on Twitter is that the Bengals historically have like a, I forgot what it was. It was like 2-14, something like that over the last 10 years. The Bengals playing on Sunday Night Football has just been a train wreck. They are terrible on Sunday night football games. They just can't handle the primetime slate for some reason. So I favor Kansas City in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I'm also on the Kansas City thing there. I think even to take a step further with the struggles on the road, I think Andy Dalton struggles in primetime games. Obviously, he has not won a playoff game, and I think there's been a few Thursday night primetime games where he's been terrible. I think even the year that he was, you know, when he got hurt towards the end and he was like an MVP candidate at that point, he was terrible in primetime. So I think that continues. I think we've seen that the Chiefs can be very, very good in primetime. They make for a must-see TV, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs as a favorite as well.
Yeah, for sure. I really love watching the Chiefs play, though, man. They're one of my go-to red zone teams. They are so much fun to watch. Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt hitting the holes. It's such a fun team. I really, in a second life, I'd be a Kansas City fan because they just have a fantastic team for years to come. Mahomes looks to be the quarterback of the future, lighting the league on fire. So I really love watching this KC team, and I'm glad they get a primetime game. So, yeah, over-under extremely high. The Cincinnati plus 220 for the victory. KC minus 260. There's nothing that sticks out enough in this game for me, though, to make a bet on it. I just don't see. I see Kansas City winning by about 7 points, I guess. I think Vegas nailed everything on the head here. Nothing for me in this game.
Agreed 100%. And just to kind of drive home that point with Andy Dalton, I looked it up. You know, granted, it's fantasy stats, so you can't take with a grain of salt, but looking at his primetime game, so he averages over his career about 21 fantasy points per game, but when you click on, you know, all primetime splits, his per-game average drops down to 16.5, so he's definitely not good on primetime, and I think that we're going to see that on Sunday night against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs do get up a touchdown. That's where I got them as well.
Yeah, also, like, Cincinnati has been sort of the surprise team in the AFC. I mean, they were awful last year. They won 6 games, I believe, maybe 7. But, yeah, Cincinnati has to come back down to earth here pretty soon. Their offense just, they lost Tyler Eifert, and Mixon has not been running the ball well as of late. They don't really know who's playing running back for him. But one big sleeper, and I wanted to mention him because, of course, I have him on my fantasy team. I think the sleeper of the year so far this year was Tyler Boyd is just having a ridiculous season so far. Do you own him in any leagues?
I do own him in a few leagues, and I actually in the offseason was telling everybody to pick up Boyd over John Ross. Everyone's like on John Ross. He was the big rookie from last year. But I was like, no, Tyler Boyd is the one you want to own. No one believed me. Now I guess they're going to believe me now because he's definitely – I think he's out-targeted A.J. Green. He has more receptions than A.J. Green. He's got more touchdowns than A.J. Green. He's just been phenomenal so far for that team. So I think that without Boyd, they would have been a much worse team.
For sure, for sure. And, of course, the NBA gives out most improved player. The NFL doesn't really do that. But he would be the easy favorite for that award if they had it because he has just been – making a ton of strides this year, and he's been really good. So Tyler Boyd has led me to 5-1 in my one fantasy league that I'm in. So thank you, Tyler Boyd. I hope he does well in this game. All right, wrapping up the slate here with the Monday night game, we have the Giants 1-5 taking on the Falcons 2-4. The Falcons, that was a must-win game last week for them. They did take care of business barely against Tampa Bay. And then the Giants, it's just been a train wreck season for them so far. New coach Pat Shurmur, former Vikings coordinator, sort of there's some in-house fighting with him and Odell, and Eli's people are calling for his head in New York. So both teams sort of have a bit of turmoil going on right now. Atlanta, of course, was projected by Vegas to win the NFC South. They are 2-4. They are already 3.5 games back of New Orleans, and we've only played 6 weeks of football. So Atlanta at home. New York has not looked great. I said Atlanta by 5 points.
Yeah, just a couple of notes on this game. I mean, can you imagine being in the offseason as one of the schedule makers looking at this game going, okay, we're going to have Odell Beckham back healthy. We're going to have Julio Jones on the other side. Saquon Barkley, This is going to be a heavyweight battle. This is why we're going to put this on Monday night. And then now we're looking at it like one team's 1-5. The other team is 2-4. Just not the matchup that they had hoped for.
Nope.
You know, Barkley and Julio, I guess, will still be, you know, doing their thing. But and then also I just got a note that Devonta Freeman actually out for the year. He's going to have a surgery on his, I believe, his hamstring or his groin. And he's done for the year. So if you own Tevin Coleman in your fantasy leagues, congratulations. You got a number one running back for basically nothing that you drafted him at. But with that said, I think the Giants are just terrible. They're just downright terrible. They're bad on offense. They're bad on defense. They have to go to Atlanta, a very hard place to win. I think Atlanta, for as bad as they've been defensively, they've been just as good on the offensive side of the ball with Julio and Calvin Ridley, who got injured last week. I got to check his status. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not, but they still got Mohamed Sanu, who's been really good. Tevin Coleman is the best backup running back in the NFL. Now he's a starter. I don't think that they're going to lose much in that respect. So I think, and then they got Ito Smith as a rookie who they like in the red zone. I think he's got a red zone touchdown the last 2 weeks. So I think this offense is way too powerful for the Giants. I don't think the Giants can do too much offensively on the other end. So I think the Falcons by, I'm going to go with a full touchdown. I'm going to go Falcons by 6.
I like the thinking behind it. They are at home as well. However, the Giants, I know Eli's just been terrible, but the Giants, I actually think, on paper, have a lot of talent, and they've been in some close games, and I don't know. I think they've played way worse. They should be like 2-4, 3-3, but they've had a couple bad breaks. But I said Atlanta by 5. You say Atlanta by 6. I boxed you out on this one. It's Atlanta by 4.5 points. So I get that one pretty close there. The over-under's 55. The Giants plus 210 to win this game, minus 250 for Atlanta. But it's a must-win game for Atlanta. I mean, there are, like I said, they're 3.5 games back, 3 games back of the Saints already in their division. You know, if they can get to 3-4, I think they have a shot. But if they're 2-5 after this game, I think their season's over with. What do you think?
Agreed. I think that you got the Saints in your division who are playing really good. I think the Panthers haven't hit their stride yet. I think they're a pretty decent team. Even the Bucks, I think, could be potentially a good team if they can figure things out. They got a good offense there as well. So if Falcons fall behind in this division at 2-5, they can pretty much start looking until next year.
Yeah, basically. It's really been a nightmare season for them so far. I mean, Deion Jones went out. So Keanu Neal is, of course, out as well. And then, I mean, Freeman on the IR now. It's just been a nightmare season. They've really lost a lot. One thing to look towards the future, though, Calvin Ridley has been incredible this year. He's just been such a... I loved that pick for them at 26th. He should have gone top 15 in the draft, but he fell to them at 26. So him and Julio for the next several years with Matt Ryan, it's gonna be fun for years to come. But you know what's interesting, Jeff? They mentioned it last week against Tampa Bay. This seems so strange, but you know, we've seen this basically the last decade offenses, especially the air game, the passing attack has just exploded. I mean, you guys got guys like Matthew Stafford throwing for over 5,000 yards. Drew Brees has been over 5,000 several times. I mean, the offensive through the air has just been out of control the last decade. Matt Ryan just surpassed Joe Montana for all-time touchdowns, which just seems so weird to me. That's just so strange. Joe Montana is, of course, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He played for your Niners, and yet Matt Ryan, who is probably like the ninth best quarterback in the NFL right now, he has more touchdowns career, and his career is like 10 years from being calling it quits. He's only like 30 years old, so that's a really weird, that's just super strange to me. They mentioned that last game after the win against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat, because, yeah, I mean, the passing game is just ridiculous right now. I mean, you've got, like you said, I mean, Matt Ryan is probably the 6th or 7th, maybe 8th best quarterback in the league right now, and he's, you know, he's, if this was 10 years ago, he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy to think that.
Exactly, man, exactly. So, yeah, Atlanta by 4.5 is the spread. And one more thing to mention here before we sign off is You know, I gave the Giants a lot of shit for taking Barkley at 2 in the draft. Sam Darnold was still on the board. Josh Rosen and Josh Allen were all still on the board. They needed a quarterback really badly. Eli has, of course, proven that this year. But Saquon Barkley might be the best running back in football right now. He is absolutely incredible, and I love watching him play. He is, you know, I just taking a running back at the second overall pick just makes no sense to me. Analytics will tell you it's a terrible pick when you got guys like James White, Deion Lewis, Devontae Freeman falling to the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. But Barkley is absolutely ridiculous. He is the best running back in football right now. I don't think you can say otherwise. He has had 20 fantasy points in every single game he's played in. He just had a huge week, 38 fantasy points last week. He is just the only reason to watch the Giants right now. He has been incredible. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's just been as advertised. I was a little bit sort of on the opposite end. I didn't think he'd be a bust per se, but I didn't think he'd be as good as he has been so far behind that offensive line, but they kind of figured a way to get around that by just dumping the ball off to him 3 yards after the line of scrimmage and letting him do his thing. So, you know, kudos to the Giants for at least figuring that out, that they can't run the ball behind that line of scrimmage. I mean, behind the offensive line. So, yeah, definitely love watching Barkley play. I wish I owned more stock in him in my fantasy leagues. Unfortunately, I only have one of my 10 teams has Barkley on it because I was trying to avoid him. But, yeah, fun to watch, and he's the only reason why you tune into a Giants game. And just to quickly go over something else I wanted to mention real quick about this Atlanta game, and everyone's kind of, you know, especially in fantasy, they're kind of ragging on Julio Jones. You know, he's having a quote-unquote bad season. But when you actually look at it, so Adam Thielen has, what, 6 straight 100-yard games. He's got 712 receiving yards. Julio Jones has 5 fewer receiving yards than Adam Thielen. You wouldn't have guessed that by listening to the media. The biggest knock on Julio is he can't score touchdowns, which just is amazing to me that they got a guy who's, what, 6'4", 6'5", an amazing athlete. They can't find a way to get him the ball down in the red zone. It's just crazy to me to think that.
Yeah, I was looking at NFL.com, checking out who's the league leader so far. Of course, Thielen is leading the league in receiving yards, and I couldn't agree more. I saw the list, and Hopkins, another guy who I didn't really expect to see on there. I don't feel like he's had an amazing season. And then Julio basically is leading the league in receiving, and he's just getting so much shit just because he cannot score touchdowns. And of course, it's just the fantasy owners who are freaking out. They just cannot see him getting in the end zone. He hasn't had a touchdown in 11 games, the last 11 games, so for some reason, man, he just can't find the end zone, but he's still a freak of nature. He's amazing. But, yeah, I feel like Barkley can literally score on every play. Like, he's always a threat to break one every single time. He just, like, when, and another thing, like, his offensive line and quarterback are awful. Like, and yet he's still producing incredible numbers. You saw Todd Gurley 2 years ago. Of course, people consider him the consensus best halfback in football. Todd Gurley was awful 2 years ago. His offensive line was terrible, and Jared Goff was abysmal, and he didn't have a single game of 100 yards 2 years ago. And yet Barkley, his team is garbage. His quarterback is worse than Goff was, and he's having an incredible season. So right now, I think Barkley is the best running back in football. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that literally everybody in the stadium knows that he's getting the ball, yet they can't find a way to stop. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going anywhere else but to Barkley. I mean, I think he's got the most receptions for a running back, too, coming out of the backfield. I think one game he had, like, 14 targets, which is ridiculous for a running back. It's just crazy to think that he's on pace for that kind of stuff as a rookie in that terrible offense.
Without question. Well, thank you, Jeff, for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day. Jeff, you got anything to plug? What's your Twitter handle again?
You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. Of course, you can always find me at goingfor2.com. And we do a bi-weekly podcast live on Facebook. Just look for the Going for Two Facebook page. We go live Tuesdays and Fridays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do season-long fantasy on Tuesday, and we do daily fantasy on Friday. So great show. You should check it out.
Definitely. You are a very good Twitter follow, too, I must add. I like some of the tweets. You give me some good information for picking my fantasy team and DFS lines every week. Very good Twitter follow. So thank you, Jeff, for coming on. Just going to recap my bets really quick. I have $1,000 on the Colts money line to win nearly $400. And then my 10-point teaser, $200 on New England plus 7, Rams minus 1. And Indy plus 3.5. So, like I said, a lot of stake in the Colts this week, who will probably just absolutely blow it. And then $50 on the under in the Baltimore New Orleans game, and that is about all I got. So, thank you, Jeff, for coming on. Really appreciate it, and good luck this week, guys.
All right, you too.